Dr. William Luther Pierce, the year 2000, Survival Essentials.
Hello. First, I want to correct a misstatement I made in last week's broadcast. In talking about the Human Genome Mapping Project, I described it as determining the sequence of amino acids in the strands of human genetic material, and of course, that's incorrect. The building blocks, or better, units of code, which are sequenced in the genetic material, are nitrogen bases, not acids. In the rough original draft of my text, I had pointed out that the genetic material governs the way in which amino acids are assembled into proteins. But in editing my comments down for the final draft, I garbled them, and I apologize for my sloppiness. Today, let's back off a bit and take a look at the overall situation of our race. I believe that it's important to do that fairly often so that we don't get lost in the details. So here's the situation. Very roughly, there are 100 million adult heterosexual white men and women in the United States, and about as many white children and teenagers. There are roughly 80 million non-whites of all ages, and I'm including among the latter the approximately 6 million Jews who live in the United States. Among the 100 million adult non-Jewish whites in the United States, there are 2 to 3 million who are potential listeners to this broadcast. I don't know how many are actual listeners now, probably between 100 and 200,000, which is somewhere between 3 and 10% of the potential. And of course, many of the potential listeners would not respond positively even if they were listening now. I receive letters often from listeners who tell me that they used to be in the enemy camp. They used to be politically correct. They used to believe what they saw and heard on television. And that after they began listening to these broadcasts, it took them a while to wake up and get their thinking straightened out. Nevertheless, I believe that it is a reasonable estimate to say that we have 2 to 3 million potential allies in the United States. 2 to 3 million white men and women capable of becoming fighters for the survival and progress of our race. Among the other 97 or 98 million whites, not all are lemmings. There are probably 7 or 8 million men and women who are capable of independent thought, capable of having ideas not put into their heads by television, but who consciously have chosen to oppose the survival of their own people. Some of them, a million or so, are homosexuals, and their perversion comes first in their scheme of things. They will throw their lot in with anyone, Jews, Clintonistas, blacks, who will allow them to keep their protected status, and they will oppose anyone who wants to have a healthy moral society. Similar considerations apply to the feminists. Not all feminists are anti-white, but like the homosexuals, they will throw their lot in with whichever side will permit them to keep their protected status. They understand that they cannot expect to have abortion on demand, no questions asked, and special hiring and promotion quotas in a healthy white society. Keeping their privileged status, which allows them to pretend that they are men instead of women, and yet be afforded all sorts of advantages and protections that are not afforded to real men, is much more important to them than the survival of the race. And then there are those who simply are corrupt, those who can think clearly and independently, and who might prefer to live in a healthy white world if they could, but who would much rather be very rich in a decaying world of mongrels than only moderately well off in a white world. For the corrupt, money, privilege, status, power, and even comfort come before race. We know who they are. All of the politicians, all of the mainstream media bosses who aren't Jews, most of the preachers, most of the bureaucrats, most of the big businessmen, and millions more who desperately want to be like them, millions more who may not yet have achieved wealth or status or power, but who crave it above all else. Sure, they don't like Mexicans, but if they can keep their labor costs down and make a bigger profit by hiring them, they will. Sure, they despise Bill Clinton and the rest of the Washington crew, but they'll suck up to that crew if they can get a few legislative or regulatory favors. Sure, they understand what the Jews are up to. They know that the Jews are methodically destroying our race. But if they can gain some momentary advantage for themselves by collaborating with the Jews, they'll do it. They really don't care what sort of world their grandchildren will have to live in. And then there are the lemmings in their scores of mindless millions. When I say mindless, I don't mean stupid. I really mean soulless. Some of them are intelligent and some are stupid. Some are industrious and disciplined, and some are lazy and self-indulgent. Some are reasonably honest and some are not. But they all are merely herd animals without the human capacity for making any independent moral or intellectual judgment. Apart from the herd, they cannot feel or think. They cannot exist. They are important, however, because there are many of them, and because whoever is pulling their strings, whoever is manipulating them, can make them all move together in any desired direction. I'm exaggerating a bit, of course. I'm oversimplifying the description of lemmings. Lemminghood is not a condition which is defined with absolute sharpness. I have known lemmings who were almost human, lemmings who were not entirely comfortable with being lemmings, who really wanted to think for themselves and do the right thing, but were afraid to. And I have known a few who actually made the transition from lemminghood to humanity, although perhaps they never had been real lemmings in the first place. Perhaps they merely had been running with the herd because it never had occurred to them that the herd might be running in the wrong direction. Perhaps all they really needed was for someone to grab them by the lapels and say to them loudly and clearly, "Hey, look where you're going. Is that really where you want to go?" Maybe there are a lot more like them now running with the lemmings who just need to be grabbed and given a good shaking. And I'm oversimplifying when I say that the manipulators are able to move all of the lemmings together in any desired direction. Usually there's quite a bit of aimless milling around. And even when the manipulators are moving the lemmings, they generally do so in a way which is deliberately not transparent. They like to maintain the illusion that there is no manipulation. They will move some of the lemmings in a Democratic herd and some in a Republican herd, and they will generate a lot of smoke and sparks to make it seem that the two herds are opposed to one another when they're really moving in the same direction. Then, when the lemmings as a whole are not happy with developments, those in the Republican herd can blame those in the Democratic herd and vice versa. Anyway, that's roughly the way we're divided up. Those who care about the sort of world we'll have in the future, and those who don't, with the latter vastly in the majority. But all of us together, the caring and the uncaring, the pure in spirit and the corrupt, those who are racially conscious and those who think only about their special interests, all of us together are headed for extinction. We are headed for extinction because the white birth rate is far below the replacement level. The miscegenation rate is way up, and the sewers of the non-white world are flooding America with their brown and black and yellow filth. These trends will, within the next few decades, make us a minority in the continent we took away from non-whites. And if we want to have a clear picture of what that will mean, All we have to do is look at what is happening in Rhodesia and in South Africa today. That's looking at our situation from a biological perspective. We are letting ourselves become outnumbered by non-whites in those areas where we used to be the overwhelming majority. And those who are outnumbering us are our natural enemies, our competitors for living space and breeding space on this shrinking planet. Much worse, we are mongrelizing ourselves by interbreeding with these non-whites. Numerical majorities can shift back and forth, of course, but from mongrelization, there is no recovery. We also can look at our situation from a moral perspective. We have in the past been outnumbered, but nevertheless have remained in full control of the situation because we were organized on a racial basis. When we were in the process of conquering the New World, we were, of course, outnumbered by the American Indians, but we were racially conscious and we understood what we were doing. We understood that they were living here and that we wanted the land for our people, and we took it. We weren't filled with any phony guilt from having Christian preachers or Jewish television producers telling us that we were wicked to conquer the continent for ourselves and that we should give it back to the Indians and return to England. It was a very simple moral issue. Us or them. The land for our grandchildren or for theirs. We knew how to deal with that, and we were unbeatable. It was much the same in Southern Africa. Being racially conscious and understanding quite clearly the difference between us and them, we were able to build strong, healthy, progressive white societies, even though we were greatly outnumbered by non-whites. In America today, we still have a substantial, though rapidly declining, numerical majority. But our moral situation is quite different from what it was when our race was expanding across the globe. We have slid a long way downhill from the racial pride and self-confidence we had until approximately the beginning of the 20th century. It really is no exaggeration to say that the average lemming in America today has been pumped so full of artificial guilt by the media that he is uncomfortable even with the thought of being white. Many actually are ashamed and feel that they should do penance. I see this sort of thing every day. My organization, the National Alliance, publishes and distributes a number of pamphlets, leaflets, stickers, and other materials that deal in one way or another with race. We distribute material with AIDS statistics broken down by race, for example. Nothing derogatory or insulting, just facts. But the media describe this as hate propaganda every time, and the lemmings respond the same way. They really are apologetic about being white. As a race, we have become a moral basket case. And in evaluating our prospects for the future, that is something we must take into consideration. Finally, we can look at our situation from a political perspective. If 300 years ago, while a group of white settlers were in a frontier fort fighting off an Indian attack, some liberal in the fort had thrown down his musket and started whining that it was racist of us to defend ourselves from the Indians, that we ought to throw open the gate to the fort, invite the Indians in, and tell them that we wanted to be their brothers. Some sane man in the fort would simply have taken out a knife and cut the whiner's throat before going back to shooting Indians. And that would have been the end of it. That was the politics of our situation then. Politics was local, and it reflected the feelings of the people, which tended to be reasonably homogeneous and in close contact with reality, which is to say, their feelings tended to be oriented toward survival. The lemmings, who made up the majority then as now and always, adjusted their thinking to that of the local leaders, who for the most part were the natural leaders, the men who were respected by those in their communities because of their wisdom, their character, their success. Today, politics is rather different. For one thing, feeling is less homogeneous and much less in touch with reality. The whiners are far more numerous, and the more or less sane people are less likely to be in agreement as to how to deal with them. For another thing, politics is far less local and has lost its contact with the people. Policymakers in Washington are able to dictate the way in which the lives and behavior of people all over the continent are to be regulated. But intrusiveness is not the worst of it. The worst is that politics is far more democratic than it used to be, which means, in theory, that the lemmings are looked to as the ultimate authority. Their votes, rather than natural ability or achievement, determine who the leaders will be. That is, the nominal leaders, the elected leaders, the figurehead leaders. And whoever is able to manipulate the thinking of the lemmings holds the real power, the real leadership. The source of that manipulation has moved from the country store to the town square, and from the town square to the centers of control of the mass media in Hollywood and New York. In other words, as America has become more democratic, the ultimate power has become concentrated in fewer and fewer hands, and they are the hands of people whose interests are utterly different from ours. Here's a brief recap of our racial situation today. First, we are facing an imminent racial catastrophe caused by a flood of non-white immigration, both legal and illegal, a non-white birth rate, which is much higher than ours, and a horrendous rate of miscegenation, especially between white women and non-white men. If the present trend continues, our grandchildren will be living in a country with a non-white majority and will be subject to the same sort of dispossession and terror of murder and rape that our people are facing now in Rhodesia and South Africa. Second, as a whole, we have been so thoroughly demoralized by the Jewish media and the Christian churches that in our present moral state, we are utterly incapable of heading off this catastrophe. Our sense of racial pride and solidarity has been replaced by an artificially induced feeling of guilt that amounts to a racial death wish. Third, the political situation has deteriorated to such an extent that even if the 2 or 3 million of us capable of becoming fighters for the survival of our race were able to clear all of the cobwebs of confusion and guilt from our minds and tackle our task with all of our moral and mental resources, we could not win through the democratic political process. The lemmings always will outnumber us, and as long as the Jews remain in control of the mass media, the lemmings will vote the way the Jews want them to, which means the whole power of government will be opposed to us. In this struggle, if the Constitution gets in the way, it simply will be swept aside by our opponents. Rights of assembly and of speech will be ignored. That is our current situation. And if you have any doubt about the reality of it, then you haven't been paying close enough attention to what's been happening in the world. We really need to understand just how dangerous a situation we're in, and dispense with all wishful thinking if there is to be any realistic hope for our survival. Now, in view of this situation, what does it make sense for us to do? Here's the answer. First, we need to continue developing our media for communicating with our people. Without communication, there will be no survival. We must be able to communicate effectively not only with all of our people who merely need to have their thinking straightened out and be motivated, that we also must be able to communicate with the 8 million or so of our people who are corrupt, who now are putting what they see as their personal interests ahead of their racial interests. As conditions change, interests change. In a war for survival, it sometimes pays to be able to talk with the people on the other side. Some of them may change sides. It's even worthwhile to address our message to the Lemmings. To most of them, it always will be Greek because it disagrees with what they see and hear on television. But as I noted earlier, some of those now running with the Lemmings are not true Lemmings. So nearly our whole effort now should be on enhancing our ability to communicate effectively with our people through the printed word and the spoken word, through the internet and radio broadcasts and books, through video and music and graphic posters, through leaflets and stickers and every other means. And we'd better not waste any time, because the day is approaching rapidly when it will be illegal to say or write anything which is not politically correct. The Jews and their allies are working day and night to condition the public to give up their constitutional freedoms in return for the promise of more security. They'll deny they're doing that, but believe me, that's exactly what they're doing. Every Jewish pressure group and every non-Jewish group which is allied to the Jews, they fully intend to take away our freedom while keeping the Lemmings convinced that they're as free as ever. They already have a substantial majority of the soccer moms and the baseball fans believing that the Constitution was never intended to protect so-called hate speech. The Jews, of course, will decide what is hate speech and what isn't. One other thing. While we're building our media for communicating with our people, let's keep in mind a few general guidelines as to what's feasible and what isn't. It's not feasible to vote ourselves out of our predicament. As long as the Jews are able to reach the Lemmings more effectively with their media than we are able to reach them with our media, the Lemmings will vote the way the Jews want them to. So forget about political campaigns as a way to regain control of things. The only way we can use political campaigns effectively is as one more medium of communication, as a forum for talking to a portion of the public. Under current conditions, it's not feasible to whip the enemies of our people, including the government, through violent or illegal means, through a campaign of terrorism, for example. We would lose everything in a hurry if we tried. Conditions always are changing, of course, and after the Jews succeed in scrapping the First Amendment, we will have to reevaluate everything. For now, however, we must follow a course of strict legality. Finally, forget about trying to save America or even Western civilization as we know it. We've lost those things. The Jews and their allies have effectively destroyed them. What we're trying to save is our race, our genes. Our aim is to ensure that out of the coming chaos and destruction, it is our genes which survive and emerge triumphant, not theirs, and that whatever remnant of our people is left to begin building anew is guided by a healthy and progressive ideology, not by the weak and sickly ideologies of the past. If you believe that's a worthwhile goal, we can use your help now. Let me hear from you. Thanks for being with me again today.